string comes in. Well, tonight you get the third string, so hopefully you're not too nervous, and maybe it'll help you to pray more for me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, but then we'll transition to another passage as really our main text for this message here tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." The Bible makes it very clear that the last days would be characterized by an unfaithfulness to the truth, an unfaithfulness to the Word of God. And in several other instances, examples in the Scriptures, we see this truth, that the last days would be characterized by this unfaithfulness to the Word of God and to the truth. The influence, as it says here, of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils would pervade and be influenced and affect many people. And I really believe that this is the result of many Christians and our society turning from the Bible, or not making the Word of God the priority and giving it the place that it needs to in our lives. I have talked to many people recently, and I've been struck with this fact that these people just do not know the Bible. And some of them even say they're Christians, and how little they prove that they know the Word of God. They don't know what the truth is. And that is a characteristic of the time that we live in. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is one other text we'll just look at briefly before we get to our main text. But Ephesians chapter 4, we see here the importance for the believer and the believers in a local church to be grounded in the Word of God, to be strengthened, to be edified, and to really come to a firm knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Word of God. In Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the characteristic of the last days really would be an unfaithfulness to the Word of God. Now, I wonder here tonight for us, how quickly do we grab onto something else? How quickly do we move to believing something else? Or how quickly do we give up something that we have been taught? Is the truth something that is important to us? Is it something that we hold very sacredly and very sincerely before God? Now, from the example of the believers in Thessalonica, we see the proper attitude and response believers need to have towards the truth. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and there's a great verse here. This is a great book, but we'll be focusing in more on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, let me read this verse. It says, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Through the example set forth by the Thessalonian believers, first of all, I want us to see tonight the aspect here of their attitude in receiving the truth is that, first of all, there was a receiving of the truth. This was the characteristic of these believers, is that they received the truth. It says that as ye have received of us. And there's that truth that they received of us. That's referring to the Apostle Paul. And there was also Silvanus and Timotheus who were there with Paul. But specifically, I think it was from Paul, he was writing. And he's saying, ye received of us how ye ought to walk. When we hear the truth, we need to have an attitude of receiving and receptivity towards the truth. Not one of rejection or laying it aside or mulling it over and really taking our time whether we're going to accept it. No, there needs to be an attitude of receiving the truth. And that was the characteristic of the Thessalonians. They received the truth that Paul was imparting to them. Now, if we are going to receive the truth, it requires the right heart towards the truth. It's a heart of humility is necessary for us to receive the truth. For you to receive the truth, it takes a humble heart. You know, a person in pride and arrogancy, they don't often receive the truth. I think of the characteristic of a wise man and a foolish man. Well, the wise man embraces the truth. The fool, he stiff arms. He pushes it aside. He's proud. He doesn't think he needs it. But we need to receive the word of God, the truth. We need a heart of humility. Does that characterize your life here tonight? You know, the Thessalonians, I see, even as I've looked at the whole book as a whole, an attitude of humility that pervaded them. They were willing to receive Paul's instruction. How easy is it for us to receive instruction? How easy is it for us to take what somebody else gives us or the truth that somebody gives us? So it requires a heart of humility. And I also see that it requires a heart really of joy, of appreciation for the truth. Look at the beginning of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They understood this was the truth and there was an appreciation for it. There was a joyful spirit in which they engaged with the truth. Despite the affliction, despite persecution they were facing, they received the truth of God's word that Paul and others gave to them. So they received it with joy. You know, when we come to hear the Word of God, is there an attitude of joy and excitement about hearing the Word of God and the truth? Or is it, you know, kind of mundane or kind of just it loses its effectiveness or our anticipation of hearing the truth? Well, there ought to be an attitude of joy and anticipation for hearing the truth and the Word of God. So it requires the right kind of heart to receive the truth. What kind of heart do you have here tonight that towards the truth? Young person, teenager, adults, what kind of heart is it that you have? Are you the kind of person that is continuing and always looking to receive the truth? Or have you gotten to a point where you say, I don't need it anymore, or I don't need to listen? Do you have the right heart that cares about and cares about receiving the truth? Is that an attitude or a characteristic that characterizes your life? Are we a critical person towards the truth? You know, we always have a critical spirit towards somebody that's trying to instruct us or what the preacher is trying to say. Well, that is the wrong kind of attitude to receiving the truth. And also, to receive the truth, it requires an embracing of the truth. And we see that here with the Thessalonians. They embraced what was given them. There are many ways that we can accept the truth. You know, we can stiff arm it, we can resist it, we can push it aside. But the right attitude ought to be that of embracing the truth, an acceptance of the truth, accepting the truth that we have been given as from God and not from men. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They knew it was just a man that was speaking to them, but they received it as the truth. They received it as from God. And, we receive the truth from God's word, but in a preaching setting, we receive it from a man. Do we receive that truth from God's word as from God? Or are we critical to it because it's a man that God is using? You know, there needs to be an attitude of embracing the truth. And my, how we live in a day where people, the truth is relative. And people just do what they want to do. They live how they want. They make their own rules. They make what they think is the truth. And there's not this embracing of the truth in our day and age. And how we need God's people. If the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth, it requires individual believers that are serious about the truth, that embrace the truth, and are willing to stand for the truth. Recently, I've been reading a book entitled Faithful Unto Death. And in that book, it's 15 young people that were faithful, willing to die for their faith. And it becomes a reality as I'm reading that book that the truth is something that's important. These people were willing to die for it. Many throughout the years centuries have died for their faith. They've embraced the truth and it means something significant to them. And that ought to be the attitude that pervades our life, is that of embracing the truth. Now, if we properly receive the truth, it will result in our transformation. And we see this here in our text verse, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. It says that as ye have received of us, there they are receiving the word, as Paul taught them how to walk and to please God, as so ye would abound more and more. So that transformation, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. Paul was instructing them in the way of righteousness, in the way of holiness. And they embraced it. They received it. And they allowed the truth to transform their life. There was a transforming by the truth. They were living one way, but Paul taught them how they ought to walk and to please God. And what happened? They received it. So there's a transforming work that takes place as we receive the truth of God's word. The transforming by the truth has, first of all, a definite steps that we need to take. It says, how ye ought to walk. There are things in our lives that need to be corrected. The truth is there to change us. It's to correct our thinking. And so we, as we embrace the truth, need to then allow it to transform us, to change us. And that is what took place here with the Thessalonians. They received it, and then it transformed their lives. You know, we will never be perfect until we get to heaven. And so there's a continual need for the Word of God to transform our life. And do we have that attitude that there are needs in our life that need to be changed? And those definite things in our lives that need to be corrected. This, I think, speaks to the importance of the Lord's house. To be continually under the preaching of God's word. Under the instruction of God's word. So that we can see the areas of need in our life. And see definite steps that need to be made. You know, a person that is not faithful to God's house is going to miss what God has for them. And receiving and how they can transform, their lives can be transformed. The importance of daily being in the Word of God. The Word of God is that transforming through the Word of God and we are transformed. And we realize how we ought to live. The importance also of being filled with the Spirit and allowing God to be in control of our life. But also this transforming by the truth has a definite goal. A definite goal. Look again at our text. It says that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. There's a goal. This transforming has a purpose. God is seeking to transform our lives, continually transform and work in our life. And there's a goal, there's a purpose that we are aiming for, to please God. The truth is designed to change us, like it did the Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13 again. At the end of the verse, it says they received the word, and at the end it says, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God is powerful. It's life-changing. And God intends for us to continually be transformed, being transformed by the word of God. And I love that phrase, effectually worketh in you. There's a genuine work of transformation that is taking place, or was taking place in the Thessalonians' life. You know, it's dangerous for us to hear the truth and not be changed by it. There is a serious danger when we hear the word of God over and over again and do not let our life be changed by it. Be transformed. And it reveals the hardening of our heart, which is a serious thing. And as we hear the word of God, it ought to be a habit of ours to make sure that every time we hear the word of God, every time we interact with the word of God, that somehow we see an area in our life that needs to be transformed or worked on. And that is what the truth is for. We also see the end of this transformation is also that we might be prepared for the Lord's coming. Really, the whole context of 1 Thessalonians is the second coming of Christ. And look at the verse right before 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. It says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We see this truth in other passages in this book. One of the goals in this transformation is to prepare us that we would be unblameable in holiness before God at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This transformation that He is seeking to work through in our lives by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word is so that when He comes again, we are prepared for Him. My, how many Christians, when Jesus comes, are going to be extremely disappointed and saddened because they were not prepared for His coming. And the whole work of transforming that the truth is to have in our life is to prepare us for seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, tonight, are you prepared to see Him? Has it been the attitude of your life to allow the truth to transform you? You know, are you prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? That phrase that to establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. There is a definite work that God is wanting to do in our lives through the truth of God's word as it is given. Now, each of us need to be growing in holiness in our lives by the power of the Spirit of God. And growing in that, we ought to not look at what other Christians, many Christians are wrapped up in what do other Christians say? What are they doing today? Well, if it's okay with them, then it's okay. Instead of looking, am I prepared for His coming? Am I being established to be unblameable in holiness before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? We ought not to be concerned with what other Christians are concerned about. If it's not pleasing to God, we ought not to be concerned about what they're consuming their life with. No, we ought to be concerned and consumed with the idea that Jesus is coming and we need to be prepared for His coming. So this truth, we ought to receive it. It ought to transform our life. But I see lastly here in our text that there is a continuing in the truth, the need for continuing in the truth. And really, I think the point that Paul is driving to in this verse is this aspect, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. The last days, characterized by an unfaithfulness, by a turning away from the truth. God's plan is rather that we would abound more and more. We shouldn't be content that we've gotten far enough. No, it ought to be, boy, I need to go more and more. I need to grow more and more. I need to let the truth transform me more and more. I've seen many Christians, instead of with their life continuing, moving forward, and abounding more and more, they come to some point in their life where they turn back. And they start going down. They start decreasing in their walk with God. And that is contrary to God's plan and purpose. And Paul here is encouraging and urging and stressing the important fact that we ought to abound more and more. The darker the day and age is that we live in, the more we ought to be propelled and challenged to grow and to live more and more pleasing to God. So ye would abound more and more. This truth, this challenge to abound more and more, really is an entrustment. We have to see as an entrustment of the truth. Paul says here to the Thessalonians, so ye would abound. Okay, what he has imparted and given to them, he wants them to abound in. He wants them to see this as an entrustment of the truth that he has been given to them. And we ought to see our responsibility of handling the truth. God has given you the truth. And you are responsible for what you do with that truth. Every believer here tonight is responsible for the truth that they have been given. How are you handling the truth? Do you sense it as a serious, sober responsibility? There also must be a commitment to the truth. This entrustment that's been given to us requires a commitment on our part. A commitment. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I love this verse. Paul here urging Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 20. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. He says, keep that which is committed to thy trust. That idea of entrustment of the truth. And that is what we have been given here tonight. And for many of us, years, whether it's in this church or wherever the Lord brought us from, if we were in a good church, we have been entrusted with the truth. And Paul here to the Thessalonians is encouraging them to abound more and more. Is that you here tonight? Are you abounding more and more? I also see that in this continuing in the truth, as Paul speaks to the Thessalonians, there is a direction that is given. It's a direction of going forward, of going upward. He says, so ye would abound more and more. Not less and less, not staying the same, but more and more. And this ought to be the direction of our life here tonight, to the truth of God's word, abounding in it more and more, seeking to obey it in even greater ways in our life. 1 Corinthians 15:58 is a familiar verse that I'll just briefly read here for you tonight. But it speaks of this fact of abounding. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's never a time that we can do less and less. There's never a time where the truth can have less effect in our life, but rather more and more. Abounding more and more is always God's plan. You know, is this your desire, your heart here tonight, that you would increase, that you would abound more and more? This is such an important thing, truth, in the day and age that we live in. Because if we are going to stay true to the truth, if we are going to stay true to what is right, there needs to be this attitude in our lives and in our church. Not seeking to compromise, not wishing we could lower our music standard. I'm just using that as example, or the dress standard. But rather seeking in a greater way to please God in our commitment to the truth and the entire truth of God's word. Tonight, do you have the right attitude and view of the truth? The truth is so important. the truth sets us free, the truth guides us and directs us in life, is our attitude as a church here tonight, as individuals, that of receiving the Word of God so that our lives can be transformed and then continuing in the Word of God. Maybe recently you've made steps backward. And tonight the Spirit of God is touching your heart about this area of, no, I need to go forward. I need to increase. I need to abound more and more. It doesn't matter what's happening around me. It matters about the truth. And tonight, what is your attitude of the truth? Do you have this attitude of receiving it and allowing your life to be changed so that you can be prepared, so you can, your life now can please God, but also when He comes, your life will be pleasing to Him. And this attitude of continuing in the truth, is that you here tonight? I trust it is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this truth and this challenge that the Apostle Paul gave to the Thessalonians. May we apply it to our hearts and our lives here tonight. May every Christian sense the weight of their responsibility to receive the truth, to handle it carefully, to not let it go to the side, to not drop the truth that they have been given, but rather to embrace it and allow their life to be transformed. And I pray that if there is, oh Lord, just in some way that Your Spirit would use this truth in each of our lives to grow us more and more, to help us to abound more and more in the truth that You have given to us. We pray that our church as a whole would increase, would abound more and more, that You would give us greater faith in the day and age that we live in, Lord, to believe that You can do great and mighty things. And we thank You for the truth of Your word that You've given. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.